Good morning. It is so good to see you today. How about that time change? Well, as in both places, and I know my sweet Vicky usually panics a little bit here, it's all I can do to keep from sobbing in front of you. I mean, the worship today, Mark and crew, thank you. Because of the deep mark on our lives that First Hearst has all these years. It's been a long time. And maybe it's an 8.5 hour drive, whatever it is, but really the heart connection has remained the same all these years. I skipped my graduation at Memphis State University. I want to go on record here in this room to say I absolutely loathe the University of Tennessee. I just want to get that out there. Can I get an amen in the room for that, by the way? I tell people all the time the real UT is here. Well, anyway, that's a whole nother story. But I skipped my graduation and started that day, May the 8th of May of 1981, and moved here, lived with Tom and Diane Reeves at the time, who were on staff here for just a little bit, moved into the West Creek Apartments off McCart Avenue in Fort Worth, and Vicky had come from the University of Georgia to seminary, and we met across the hall from each other in biblical backgrounds at seminary back in those days, and we were married a year later. And I would never have met my sweetheart had I not followed the Lord's leading here, and of course her following the Lord's leading here. And we've got 47 working on 47 years together, and it has been perfect for 47 years. So. And I want to say thank you to Jason and Todd and Mark, and the crew have just been incredible with the logistics getting ready for this. And I'm not sure if Kimberly and Tracy, with them running back and forth, that they're even in the room. I get to say a little bit tonight. But the mark, again, on our lives through them. And I said this in both services. Kimberly, really, she really is a unicorn. You know, because you just don't hear of people 15 years of age, you know, staying in one place and growing into ministry and doing that. And I know she's not going anywhere. And then I've been meaning to ask, how many of you folks that have been here a long time, you changed Jeff's diaper when he was in the, is that anybody in the room still? Well, let me tell you, I have a number of nicknames for Jeff down through the years, some of which I can't share in mixed company, but I have a new one as of this week. Are you ready for this? Captain Pickleball. I've seen the video. I'm taking the video back to my church, and I said, I'm going to say, I want to show you an idiot pastor trying to play pickleball. But I love how his support staff member and wife were praying for them on the floor, allegedly. Please take your copy of God's Word, your smartphone, join me. I know we have the scripture on the screens. Thank you for this privilege. Jeff and Jana, thank you. We love you so much. Vicki and I treasure you, and we're so grateful for you today. Join me, and these are familiar passages today. I've been tasked with the theme of the weekend of celebrating Kimberly, of course, but clinging to what this church does so well, which is missions, kingdom missions today. Every member is a missionary. When you gave your heart to Jesus, you weren't put on a shelf or put in a corner. Regardless of your personality, you're to be a warrior for Jesus Christ. And if our world ever needs warriors, it is now. By the way, people often say our world is on fire. Our world is literally on fire. Our world desperately needs Jesus. Look at Acts 1:8 with me, if you will. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So beyond Hearst, beyond Texas, beyond North Dakota, beyond the U.S., into China, into Germany, into all the places that you go and will go, we've been called to do that. And then if you would, turn to the Great Commission. It's in Matthew chapter 28. You see it on the screen if you don't have your Bible or smartphone in front of you. And by the way, it's called Great Commission on purpose. It's not called the Great Omission. You don't omit being of a follower of Jesus and not going and sharing. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Time didn't let me, did not afford me the chance to share this in the previous services. It'll take just a moment. I want to break down these two verses a little bit about the Great Commission. First of all, we have the power to go. That's all authority. The plan is what? There's no plan B. The plan is go. Go. You have the power, the plan, the personnel. Therefore speaks to me and you. Then you have the program, reach, baptize, teach. And folks, don't miss the promise. He'll be with us always. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. The duty and high calling of every follower of Jesus is missions, is the gospel. To take a breath, to rest, of course, but we are to be sharing Jesus. Don't push back and say, man, I'm an introvert. It's not my personality. We need to verbally share what we visually live. And it's a challenge. Good old Noah Webster, he was a follower of Jesus. He wrote the dictionary. You know that very well. And I think the Holy Spirit, I'm convinced the Holy Spirit inspired his definition of missions. And I'm reading it here. Missions is being sent out to perform a special duty. It's a calling. So number one, if you're taking notes, M stands for ministry. Ministry. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So I want to ask you this morning as we begin, who in your home have you blessed or done good to today? I know most of you are like me. You want to say I love you every morning. You want to say I love you every night. You want to say I love you in between to your wife, your spouse, your husband, your grandchildren. I know you do that, and I know there are people in this room that would testify they wish that their spouse was still with them so they could say, I love you and I bless you. Don't miss the opportunity to bless someone in your home today. That really is ministry. It begins in the home. Who in the marketplace have you blessed today? I try my best, and my sweet wife would testify to this. I try to leave everywhere I go and say, have a blessed day. I very seldom get the turned up nose. Most of the time, people just say, well, thank you, you too. But every once in a while, someone will pause, which will give me the opportunity. Can I tell you why I wish for you a blessed day? I'm a follower of Jesus. He's changed my life. And I'm praying for you today. There's a little lady, and my wife's going to laugh at this. I'm in Walgreens quite a bit. I do my primary shopping in Walgreens. Men, how many of you went to Christmas Eve, you went to Walgreens to buy that Christmas present for your wife? Raise your hand right now. Just get it out. Okay. There's a little lady there. She's 80, Miss Elizabeth. She has to work. Her husband died a number of years ago, has to have this other job. And so I got to saying quickly to her, Miss Elizabeth, have a blessed day. And now when I walk up to the register, she says to me, Pastor Rob, have a blessed day before I even leave. That's not a testimony to me. That's a testimony to Jesus who changed my life and her life. You and I are to bless others. Who in your job, who in your school, who in your retirement village have you blessed today? The world is raging. Let's calm down. Just bless somebody. You know what? I mentioned this yesterday, I think. Social media, texting, all that is good, but texting has caused a generation to lose the ability to communicate, to emote, to have a conversation. Have you noticed that? It's really hard to carry on. Screens, they're great. I mean, I text a lot. I said this yesterday. But just take the time to speak blessing. Involvement. 1 Corinthians 6:9-19-20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and who you're not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Dear ones, missions can look good on paper, and it can look good in the pulpit, but for missions to be missions, it must be personal missions. I bless you. I think sometimes a church like this, as wonderful as your church is, and I told Jeff this with him running over curbs and stuff, Jana, on the way back and forth between here and there. He didn't have his little helper sitting next to him to help him a little bit. But you all, sometimes I think you're so close to the fire in your wonderful on-fire church. I think you need to be blessed today by somebody from the outside looking in saying, well done. Well done. Keep going. Keep sharing. Keep making much of Jesus. Keep loving one another. The enemy would love to conquer and divide you as a people because he does not like what you're doing. Hang in there. Keep going. Involvement. One Sunday evening, William Booth was walking in London, and he had a son, Bramwell. What a name. Bramwell, who was 12 or 13 years old at the time. And all of a sudden, the father surprised his son by just taking an abrupt turn into a tavern. He took his 12, 13-year-old son, Bramwell, into a tavern. The place was crowded with men and women. Some were drunk. Some were loud. The smell of alcohol and booze and tobacco filled the air. And Bramwell turned to his dad and said, Dad, can we go home? Why did you bring me in here? And General Booth said, Son, listen to this. These are our people. These are the ones I want you to love. They are the people I want you to live for. These are the people I want you to bring to Christ. And years later, Bramwell wrote, that was a lesson I never forgot. Dear ones, may we never forget that the reason lost people are lost is because they're lost. They're not the enemy. Are you with me? They're not the enemy. Lost people act like lost people. And we as Christians, myself at the top of the list, often act like a lost person. I don't know what I do know what your traffic's like around here, but I mean traffic. Good grief. It's crazy, isn't it? Quit shouting at Fox News at night. Just give it up, you know? Wow. Ministry, involvement, sharing. Sharing. 1 Timothy 6:18, let them do good that they will be rich in good works, willing to give, willing to share. 2 Timothy 1:8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. Share. Hebrews 13, 15 through 16. Are y'all with me? Are you out there? This is an English-speaking congregation, right? Okay. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. That's not just worship, as wonderful as the worship is even today. Giving thanks to him, that is the sacrifice of praise. Can I tell you how Jesus has changed my life everywhere we go? But do not forget to do good and to share with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Give yourself with love. Somebody loved you enough to share Jesus with you, right? Am I right? Somebody loved you enough to stand in this place, perhaps, and share Jesus with you. Somebody sat down across from you in vacation Bible school. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Wow. Somebody had enough courage when you were living like hell to confront you and say, listen, I love you, but that wife is going to leave you and you're going to lose your kids if you don't shape up. And I want to tell you, the only way for you to shape up is to give your heart to Jesus Christ. And I'm not leaving till you turn to him. How about that one? Amen. Give yourself with love. Give yourself with labor. Give yourself with time. Jeff and I have talked about this a couple of times in the travel. And Vicky, my sweet Vicky, can testify to this. I get witnessed to all the time. Kyle, do I look that heathen to you? Do I look that pagan to you? Not anymore, thank you. I get witnessed to all the time, everywhere I go. It's a running joke in our church, in our family. I literally get witnessed to all the time. In the fall, I'd had a situation where I was in a restaurant, and the waiter was getting a little squirrely. Young man's name was Kenny, and I was actually sharing with a gentleman across the table from me in a pretty intense conversation. And Kenny was real squirrely, the waiter, and he finally settled over to me and said, sir, can I just share something with you? Sure. Has there been a time in your life that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And my head had just hit the table. You know, everywhere I go, I get witnessed to. And I said, Kenny, You know, I didn't go to the pastor thing first. That doesn't matter. I just said, I became a Christian when I was 10 years old, but I want to tell you, buddy, thank you. Don't ever quit. By the way, nobody is a waiter or waitress by choice. I know a lot of you have waited tables. With few exceptions of high-end restaurants, a waiter or waitress is a single mom with a second or third job, a student trying to make money. Do you know why restaurants and waiters hate and waitresses hate Sunday the most? Oh, that's a whole other story, Rob. None of your business. You're meddling now. All right. I get witnessed to everywhere I go. So I just told the church this story, had reminded them of this story. The next day, I have a test being run at a local hospital. PFT, pulmonary function test. Anybody had one of those beauties? And so I was grumpy. Most pastors have the ability, and God gives us a little leeway to be a little bit grumpy on Mondays after Sundays. I was a little bit grumpy, sitting, waiting, and they call me back, and I go in this room, and I notice the name tag on the sweet lady. Her name is Kay. And she closes the door, and she immediately starts humming. And I recognized the song, even though she was humming, C.C. Winans, Goodness of God. So I said, okay, I guess I can leave. And let me just hit the door. I mean, because I knew what was coming. I knew what was coming. She's humming. She's humming. And so I'm thinking, okay, Lord, my church is not going to believe this. And she said, sir, can I just tell you how good God has been to me? And I said, no. I said, okay, go ahead. And I said, sure, please share with me how good God is. Terrible situation, abusive marriage that had ended and having to move several different places. And she had just recently, she'd gotten saved as a child and recently recommitted her heart to Christ, was real involved in the local church. And she just said, I tell everybody that comes in this room when I close the door how good God has been to me if they let me. And I said, okay, I have to tell you, let me tell you how good God has been to me today. He put you in my life today. And I want to tell you, he's used you to convict me today that I need to be about sharing Jesus with others. She got the Holy Ghost in that room, by the way. Now, she put me, there was a little bit still lingering with me, a little bit of my like, what am I going to do with this? How do I tell my church this? And so they put you in a little cubicle. If you've ever had this test, it's a small little sit down, looks like a telephone booth. And they put this thing in your mouth. And for about half an hour, they make you breathe, 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 breathe. I was hoping to pass out. I just wanted you to know that. But here's the point. God puts people in our lives to remind us that he is a good God. And he has changed our lives. Would you just join me for just 5 seconds? If you're here today and you know Jesus, would you just whisper out loud like I'm going to and say, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Right now, join me. Jesus, I want to thank you for saving me. You see, you just sense the Holy Spirit just receive that and it comes back to us in blessing. Sharing, ministry involvement, sharing. Sacrifice. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice can crawl off the altar, but when you came to the altar of the Lord Jesus Christ in your church and gave your heart to him, when you climbed on that altar to say, thank you for saving me, I'm as yours, don't ever climb off that altar again. Stay right there so he can use you. Sacrifice. To be truly on mission with the Lord means that you will sacrifice some time, pleasures, and even possessions to meet the needs of others. I bet there are countless people in this room that you have given things away. You have sacrificed some things, but you gave it away because the Lord told you to, and you don't miss it because you gave it to him. Amen? When you give to him, it comes back in immeasurable blessing to you. But let me give you the other side of that same coin. It may not come back to you and me this side of heaven, but what a day it will be when that blessing comes back to us in the form of a crown and we lay it at the feet of Jesus. is all his anyway. Amen? To be truly on mission, time, pleasures, even possessions to meet the needs of others. I've enjoyed reading a little bit more about Corrie ten Boom. And Vicki will tell you, I share often about out of the book, The Hiding Place. Have you read that book before? It's been published many, many times, many millions of times. Corrie ten Boom tells the story of her own Dutch Christian family who had a passionate heart for the Jewish people. Her grandfather, Wilhelm, started a weekly prayer group in 1844 in Haarlem, a city just outside. Haarlem is actually how it's pronounced, outside of Amsterdam. And they were to pray every week since 1844 for the salvation of the Jews. Now, that weekly prayer meeting continued uninterrupted, are you with me, until 1944 when the ten Boom family was sent to a concentration camp for helping the Jews to flee Nazi oppression during the Holocaust. Corrie tells the curious story about her father. His name was Caper ten Boom. When the Jews were forced to wear the Star of David, you've seen the photos, I have too, the Star of David, to identify them as Juden, Jews. Copper lined up to get one. A follower of Jesus. He wanted to identify himself, so he wanted to wear the Star of David, and he wanted to identify himself with the people for whom his family had been praying for about all these years. He was prepared to be so completely identified with the Jews that he was willing to wear a sign of suffering and persecution for the sake of the people he loved, for the sake of the gospel. He didn't have to wear the Star of David, but he chose to. Dear ones, here's the point. We don't wear a Star of David. We wear a cross. Now, you might or might not physically today wear a cross, but we all as believers bear a cross. How high are you lifting up the cross of Jesus today? Intercession. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for what we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. How many of you are praying for someone now over 20 years to be saved? Anybody in the room? You've been praying for somebody over 20 years. You're praying for someone even now to be saved. Raise your hand. Even now. Don't quit. Keep putting Jesus in front of them. Let them keep slamming the door. Let them keep hanging up on you. Let them keep ignoring your text. Write them a letter. Keep putting Jesus in front of them. Somebody didn't give up on you. Somebody didn't give up on me. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he was also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Have you ever prayed this way, by the way? I know you have. It's deep angst. It's a diagnosis. It's a family issue. It's a financial reversal. It's a job issue. Whatever the issue is, and you've just gone before the Lord and you don't even know what to say. It's happened to you, hasn't it? You don't know what to say. Scripture says the Holy Spirit just steps in for us. You've prayed like I have. Lord, help. The Lord said, the Holy Spirit says, Rob, I got it. Are you with me? Amen. Who today can I share with? Jesus, break my heart for what breaks yours. I didn't get to share this in the other two services. When we were flying in to DFW, I don't remember the time frame, but it was obviously when I was here. And I was new here, and I was maybe flying home or something back and forth, or maybe flying to catch up with Vicki, who had gone home for Christmas. I don't remember the situation, but it was coming into DFW, and a row in front of me, cattywampus to the row in front of me, this man was just leaning over to other people, literally leaning over. Hey, how can I pray for you? How can I pray? Hey, when I get in an airplane, leave me alone. Bring me my peanuts and Diet Coke, right? But he was literally leaning over, and even because the seatbelt, but then when the seatbelt sign came off, it was game on. So I said, this guy, I mean, I don't, kind of familiar, I don't really know. So he gets to me and he says, young man, how can I pray for you? And I said, well, I've just started seminary. I'm on staff at First Hurst. And he said, oh, Bob Eklund. You know who it was, Jeff? Freddie Gage. Wow. How many of you remember Freddie Gage? Pulpit in the Shadows. Freddie Gage, everywhere he went after he got gloriously saved in Houston, he shared Jesus. Everywhere he went. But he started with, how can I pray for you? So ask somebody even today, how can I pray for you? Oh, opportunity. Opportunity. No one is exempt from the opportunities to be on mission for and with our precious Jesus. Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Jeff and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. History records for us when Oliver Cromwell, who ruled England, the nation experienced a huge crisis. They ran out of silver, and they couldn't make coins. So he sent his soldiers to the nearby cathedral to see if there was any silver available. And the soldiers came back and told him that the only silver was in the statue of the saints that lined the cathedral. Cromwell replied, melt them down and get them back in the circulation. You see the point here? If you've been out of circulation a little bit, life has just kind of put you to the curb. You've been distracted. Get back in the game. Get back in the game. Tell somebody about Jesus. I'm as convicted, more convicted even than you are. We need to be in circulation among unbelievers. The lost need to hear us share our story. They need to hear about Jesus. Ministry, involvement, sharing, sacrifice, intercession, opportunity, and needful. Needful. When we don't participate and actively participate in ministry, missions, and sharing the gospel, we shut doors. We shut our minds. We even shut our Bibles to those who need it the most. I think of a number of words for our church, and this makes me think of your church. I know you have a theme that you repeat. Giving, sending, going, and praying. And I want to affirm many dear ones in the room today that you would give anything to be able to go on mission, but you can't physically. Bless you. Pray. But I want to tell you also, I said this in the other service, I know this to be true in our church as well, and I'm absolutely confident it's true here. Jeff will personally write the check. If you feel God calling you to go on a specific trip with First Hurst, I guarantee you they will get you there. Right, brother? Mark, I see you back there. They will help you get there. And you know what else happens? Other lay people that can't go, they will help you get there. Don't say, well, you know what? I don't have the money. Just can't go. Go. I promise you, and every person that's ever been on any mission trip from this church will tell you, you go and you will never be the same again, ever. Every member of missionary, perhaps Shane Pruitt put it best encapsulated with this thought. Listen to this. Best way to plant a church, reach lost people. Best way to revitalize a church, reach lost people. Best way to impact a community, reach lost people. Best way to grow a church, reach lost people. Best way to reach the lost world, reach your cul-de-sac. Best way to mature a church, equip people to reach lost people. Best way to be a missionary, go and tell. My dad died when I was 11 years old. He was a World War II veteran. D-Day, Utah. Vicky's dad was World War II, D-Day plus 14 at Omaha, two Purple Hearts. So both of our fathers served in the war. They were marked like most of, if you had family that did that, they were marked by the war. My dad died at 46 years of age, relatively suddenly. There were some issues, but he passed away. I was 11. My little brother was 7. My little sister was 3, and I had an older brother in the Navy that I think either 18 or 19 years old. So understandably, I lived literally from here to the wall almost, and Vicki would affirm this, I lived literally a block away from First Baptist Church Memphis. They had a gymnasium, bowling lanes, all those things, wonderful church. They became father to the fatherless to me. And I had a particular friend I'd known since vacation Bible school days of going there. His name's Cooper Sandusky. He's a retired orthodontist. And nobody knew what to say to an 11-year-old boy whose dad had passed away, you know, fairly quickly. And I get that. Now, they understood. And I said this in the previous service, and I know the pastors would affirm this, and I know you know this experientially. If you don't know what to say to someone at a funeral, don't say anything. Just hug them. It's called the ministry of presence. Nobody knew what to say to me, but I could take you to the very oak tree base in Memorial Park Cemetery in Memphis, Tennessee, where as we were walking away, I don't know where I was walking. I was walking away from the grave, absolutely destroyed. And my 11-year-old friend, same age as I was, Cooper, walked up to me, put his arm around you and said, Robbie, I'm really sorry about your dad, but I'll share my dad with you. And he did. So even though I was a perfect young man, my mama, who was in nursing school and was a nurse and trying to raise us, my grandmother moved in with us to help out. There's a few times I got in trouble, but every once in a while there'd be an occasion to where my mom would call Cooper's father, who was also an orthodontist, Dr. Sandusky, and she would say, you need to talk to Robbie. Dr. Sandusky was a naval vet from the war, about this tall. And he'd sit me down and go, boy, that's all he had to say. Your mama has told me you need to straighten up. I'll never get over that. I preached Dr. Sandusky's funeral a number of years ago, and his wife. Here's the point. There's a loving father today that is using the Holy Spirit to point to you for something now. If you've never given your heart to him, today's your day. This is not about a religion. It's about a relationship. It's not about being Catholic or Baptist or dry cleaned or sprinkled or whatever you were. It's about a relationship with Jesus. My legacy under Dr. Adrian Rogers, those wonderful years that Vicki and I served there, he ended every service extending the invitation with these words, and I end with these today with you before Mark and the crew comes. Come to Jesus. His arms are open wide. Come to Jesus right now. Father, I pray in these moments you'll stir every heart in this room, beginning with my own, that we would say yes to you, Father. If there's anyone in the sound of my voice today, Lord, that does not have a biblical, rock-solid assurance of knowing you, would you save them even today? Would you get them off their blessed assurance to stand and come forward to this altar, to these men? If you're here today and you, this whole issue of missions and ministry and conviction, and maybe even a person you're praying for, you want somebody to pray with you for someone's soul, come today. Come. Maybe there is a missions opportunity, like I said. Whatever the need, whatever the way the Lord is speaking to you today, come. Jesus, you're our only hope. We love you. We worship you. We thank you. We praise you. Amen. God bless.